In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Hard to believe I've been binging.
I entirely. Why is that hard to believe?
I don't know. So I mean,
I mean, if you had said Jeff Goldblum is playing The Rock in the biopic about his life, I would question that. Mm-hmm. Like Jane Ellen has been binging. Seems pretty plausible.
Yeah. Did you do what I demanded of you? Because you have so much spare time.
The
Umbrella Academy.
Yes, I watched a little bit of it.
All right.
I didn't get to full on like binge it, but yeah, I got to see some of it.
Okay, so I had no idea what it was. I started watching it because Netflix told me to.
Because what is not these days?
I watched one episode and I thought I could have the best time watching this by myself, but no, I will force the children. So naturally, that they're older and have their own opinions, I hate that. What is it? What's it about? It's like, I don't know. You'll like it.
There is something delightful about, like, say them when they're three and they just accept that whatever hey, I got you this toy. They're just like, yay. And then they play with it. They get up to 13 and they're like, well, I actually wanted the, and I'm just like, just give it back to me. Here, I fixed the problem. I'm returning it.
And I'm glad that I was able to say to myself when it was happening, this won't stay like this. I knew when I was my children's world and everything I said resonated in some fabulous way.
There was no questioning of it. I spake the truth. And the voice was heard.
Yes. And I really, really liked that. And I did enjoy it while it happened. And now it's gone.
The great thing about having kids at a multitude of ages is I can experience it. It's like being able to travel through time. If I want to get like the sassy snark and the disagreement, I can just go talk to my 13-year-old. If I want to move back in where like I am the embodiment of like
all
whatever
knowledge.
I need to be and all knowledge, I can go talk to my 5-year-old. And then if I want like a little mixture of the two, like I can hit like, you know, one of the ones in the middle there. But I'm just like, I've got the spectrum. Like I've got the entirety of the spectrum.
I think that's why mine enjoy your little one so much, because they get just a little taste of, I said something and he believed me.
It's and I'm like, they just hang on it. They want to know every single bit of it. Like it's like they've been in the desert for years, and like you give them the smallest niblet of a saltine cracker. At this point, you're just like, it's a saltine cracker. Who cares? They're unimpressive. You let them nibble on that and they're just like, this is so good. Tell me more about the saltine.
And so that was my initial reaction from the children. 5 minutes in, they're hooked.
Well, the good thing for Netflix, particularly in this, Marvel, however much they may have the exclusive on, I don't know, everything at this point. There are other companies that make comic books.
So what company made this one?
I don't remember directly off. I want to say it's not Vertigo. Valiant. I cannot think of it right off the top of my head, but like considering that they just released all of the Marvel shows off Netflix, which even if they were dipping in popularity, I'm going to go ahead and say Marvel dipping in popularity is still more popular than a lot of people's best day popular.
Now, the Umbrella Academy, how old is this source material?
I want to say it's...
It sounds 90s.
if it's not 90s, it's like early 2000s, I believe.
Okay.
And like, I'm not as well versed in this. I am casually aware of the Umbrella Academy. When they announced that they were doing it, I was like, well, that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And as the girls were taunting each other, why'd you let us watch it, Mom? We're not 14. Yeah, it's TV 14, but it's fine for my kids. I don't think there's any cursing.
TV 14, like, it's kind of like PG 13. Yeah. Like, you don't, if you're 10 and watching PG 13, sometimes it's okay. If it's NC 17,
yeah, it's
you probably should be 17. If it's R, there's a pretty good chance that you do need to be like, you know, 15, 16 or 18
unless it's Die
as the required. Well, it's just a Christmas movie.
Exactly.
All you have to do is like Christmas to enjoy Die Hard.
There you have it. So the Umbrella Academy essentially is 43 children were born on the same day around the world. However, none of the mothers were pregnant when those days began. So there's no explanation of how this happened.
That old gem.
Yes. And a wealthy man hears of this and he purchases as many as he could. And so he got 7 of them and he said that he had to train them to save the world. And they all had gifts. Now, through the whole thing, you, of course, have this one girl, because they're adults. You have this one girl who has no gift. And Jenna says, I bet she has a gift she doesn't know about. Duh. Of course, she has a gift she doesn't know about. I mean, it's like Jack and the Incredibles. I bet he has a gift he doesn't know about. So you got that going on.
Pause 1 second. I heard a theory about Jack.
Ooh.
Okay. Whenever he kind of dissipates, like there for a second, and then re-enters back into our reality, somebody mentioned
You said it's our reality.
Well, however you want to look at it. The being that the child that they are talking about that in Monsters, Inc.
There's a child in.
Whenever they're just like, child appeared out of nowhere and laser shot from him. They're theorizing that, like, there's a possibility that the reason why they're scared of children is because of Jack. And that whenever he transports phases out of this, he phases into the Monsters, Inc. reality. And I'm just like, and listen, I'm a Marvel guy, like MCU guy. Go ahead and interconnect it all. Like, I'm all for it. Letting me know that there's a Pixar, like, extended universe, like that they're all related.
That'd be fun.
Oh, that, I'm just saying, I'd watch Incredibles meet Monsters, Inc. Like,
that would be really fun.
I'd be in.
That's believable to me.
I'm just saying.
So now, what I found amusing through this is, I guess James Franco is too old to be the age the character needed to be. So they got the guy you get when you can't get James Franco.
Bob Franco, his younger brother.
And so the whole time, this guy is fabulous. And of course, he's always high or drunk. And having seen a superhero thing once or twice before, I surmised to myself that he is numbing whatever his power is. And his power is he sees dead people. And so that's kind of a big deal.
Haley Joel Osment was also not available.
No. So you've got this very glam, funny, I don't know how old he is, 20 something, who sees dead people, but he can only see the dead people when he's sober. So therefore he tries not to be sober. Interesting thing. One of the 7 of the Umbrella Academy is dead. So he actually is in a lot of it, because as the guy sobers up, you see his dead brother. No one else knows that the dead brother's been there. So that's kind of fun. You have a guy who's clearly, well, first of all, I kept looking at him going, I know him from somewhere, but I couldn't be bothered to look it up. You know, the tall, good looking type. And he's hulking, veritably bursting out of his clothes. You find out later he's like half monstery in some fashion.
Is that how they put it?
No.
Is that how the scientists did?
I'm just explaining his
Well, you seem to have a half monstery gene.
And then you have the the erudite chimpanzee who is beautifully dressed, named Pogo.
I'm telling you right now, if I saw an article from a webpage called erudite what
chimpanzee, the erudite chimpanzee,
I'd read it. Like, I'm just like, if that is not already like a dot com. That needs to be right there.
He's delightful. And you have the robot mom, classic Stepford robot mom. And you've got,
just picturing like a used car salesman. It's like, oh, it's a Stepford. Runs like a Stepford. Make me an offer. What is it going to take you? What is it going to take to get you with this Stepford off the lot today?
So one of them has the power. Now, I don't know how she discovered this power. I doubt they'll go into it. If she says, I heard a rumor, no matter what she says afterwards, you will do. How do you stumble upon that? You go, I heard. How do you even know that that's a thing? But that's not explained.
I mean, I guess like you saw it once and like maybe you said something particularly like unusual after it. And you just try it again going, there's no way. So you make it more like fantastic or unusual so that like the probability of it just being a coincidence, like if you were just like,
I guess.
And then I need you to quote from War and Peace while making scrambled eggs and wearing a backwards ball cap.
That's oddly specific. Anyway, what would you, Adam, do if that was your power?
If I could just tell people what to
say, I heard a rumor, yada, yada, yada. How would you use that?
I don't want to say that I would rob a bank, but there would be banks with money missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't know anything about it. And I heard a rumor that you wouldn't either.
She used it to be cast and become the most famous and glorious movie star ever.
That seems like more work. Why not just make somebody give you the money?
And then she got married and she has a kid. And this is where I did not agree. Her husband got mad at her because her daughter at the age of 3 or 4 was having outrageous meltdowns at bedtime. And so he heard her say, I heard a rumor that you feel tired. I heard a rumor that you had a really good sleep and woke up feeling refreshed. Please. Would so have done that.
He's furious?
Yes, because she used her power on their kid.
Listen. It doesn't... Like, does her power have after effects?
No,
like, it doesn't
none.
Make them
no.
bleed out of their eyes?
No, she was doing everything you and I for sure have wanted to do, and I know we're not alone. It's like, please, anything. I heard a rumor that you stopped crying. Yes.
Did this guy get mad at Superman when, like, I don't know, like, he stopped the asteroid from hitting the Earth? Like, was he just like, he used his powers to stop the asteroid?
Yes.
He shouldn't have done that.
Listen,
this woman's a hero. That's all I hear, Jane.
So,
that's all I heard.
I mean, mad, like, won't let her see the kid because she's dangerous.
I heard a rumor he needs to get off his high horse.
Yes.
That's the rumor I heard.
That really just didn't work for me to be upset with her over that.
I mean, I guess if I had to, it's kind of like, I guess, the Bewitched situation where Darren's like, Samantha, don't use witchcraft. Oh,
yes.
Samantha.
Use witchcraft.
No. Like, see, again, that's why I wouldn't have been Darren. Like, I would have just been like, oh my goodness, baby, we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage. And she'd just be like, tingle, tingle, ding. And I'll be like, doubloons, gold doubloons, Samantha, I love you. Like,
see,
Darren and I just, we wouldn't have seen it.
Neither of the Darrens.
Yeah.
So you have that happening. You have the child that died. We don't know how he died. And we don't really get to see his power except through shadow because they haven't decided what it looks like, I'm sure, and it would cost a lot. Because apparently he turns into a multi-armed killing animal.
That sounds expensive. I mean,
of splatter.
That's not a practical effect right there.
So the story is, these kids are raised in, they have everything. They're raised in this mansion. They have robot mom. They have erudite chimpanzee. They have each other. Naturally, they're homeschooled. And They are raised to save the world. And they're each given a number because Dad just didn't have time to name them. So Robot Mom named them.
Well, whenever they get killed saving the world, it's probably easier to just be like, oh, we lost seven. Bring eight.
Yeah.
Go ahead and bring
eight. So what we don't know about the other kids, because that will come in season 4, 5, or 6 of the Umbrella Academy.
Well, I mean, as popular as comic books are in film, particularly right now, the fact that like you have these platforms where you can do like, you know, 13 episode seasons or anything, like if you look at like where they came from, long form storytelling is basically what comic books are set up to. I mean, unless it's just like a 5-issue miniseries or something like that. You've have comic books that have been running for like 1,000 issues, like 800 issues, 200 issues.
Homer would be so proud.
I'm just pointing out that like if you want something and you say need 7 seasons worth of material, like comic books really are kind of a perfect place to go to. You already have like your narrative essentially built for you. And most of the time they kind of relate one to another, or if you've got 30 years worth of stories to tell from, let's say you don't want to immediately go to that second one, like in the book, like Harry Potter, there's only a handful of books. Let's say if you're doing this comic book, you're like, well, I don't like that arc. Well, you skip ahead 10 years. Like there's so much just ripe fruit for the picking.
And you know what else really happens when you have someone who can travel through time? So one of the children,
also something I should not be able to tell people what to do and they'll do it, and I don't need the ability to travel through time, because I'll abuse both those powers.
You have this, I guess at the time, let's say they were all 15 when this happened, I don't know, they were something, no, 13 actually, he says he was 13. So in their timeline, their 13-year-old brother disappears. And eventually he comes back, but he comes back, his consciousness is a 58-year-old man, which leads to much comedy, much, because he's in his Umbrella Academy suit, which of course is long shorts, dress pants, and a tie. So there's that comic thing happening. So you have a very, very wry character there as well. And he travels through time, so we got a gajillion stories right there. Right there.
Just right
so
there.
This is the whole story. Now, you'll never guess when you have 7 kids who don't like their father figure and they all leave except one, what would bring them together in the same house at the same time?
Christmas?
No.
Oh, okay.
What else?
Thanksgiving.
Or the death of the father figure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we do it too.
Yeah. So, so that is the story. The father figure has died, and they are all brought together, and time traveling guy comes back, and in he's lived years and years and years and years, and he knows that when he jumped through, that the Umbrella Academy was destroyed and all of his family was dead. As a matter of fact, the entire world was destroyed. So he wants to fix this and not have Armageddon happen.
He just kind of Barry Allen's his way out of it.
Yes, but interesting aside, while he's lived, like he's 30 some years living where his only companion is a mannequin that he named Dolores.
So, kind of a castaway kind of situation?
Yes, okay. Very much so.
All right.
And a woman appears and she wants to hire him because she, I'll say time-space continuum, but time-space continuum. There is an organization that makes sure everything happens as it should. So if so-and-so had to be here at a certain time.
There was a adjustment bureau. Kind of an adjustment.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, for instance, everything, Hitler, Titanic, they have to make sure that all these things line up So, let's
say I get a time traveling telephone booth mm-hmm. and I show up and I'm just like, Hitler gonna get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to make Inglourious Basterds a reality. Mm-hmm. Like, I show up and they're just like,
but you see, they then send assassins, one of which is Mary J. Blige, for real, and a humorous man named Hazel. And that is what they made the time traveling boy. He became their assassin to keep the timeline doing what it should do. However, he's aware that they know the Armageddon's coming and no one seems to fix it. So his goal is to fix it and tell his family, and they have been training their whole lives to save the world. And that's where we are with the Umbrella Academy.
Whilst also avoiding the assassins.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a lot of discussion of donuts. And
as there should be.
Yeah. It is amusing. You've got an odd situation where the girls didn't really know how to react because you see Monster Boy and I heard a rumor girl clearly have a thing for each other. They are in no way biologically related, but they were raised as brother and sister. So,
So there's that.
Yeah. That made them uncomfortable. It wasn't a Marty McFly situation.
But it was definitively his mother.
It was Woody Allen-esque, so to speak.
Let's not use that. Like,
it was, anyway, they're not biologically related. It was like Boone and his sister, not biologically related.
Any argument you ever make that you then have to go, well, Woody out, like,
okay,
you've almost certain, like, let's say you were winning the case and you're like, I bring forward the Woody Allen defense. Like, they're just going to be like, oh, guys, we've got, okay, no, we have to rethink. I thought they were innocent. I now,
You're listening to Binge or Cringe with Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens from high atop the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center. So yeah, Jim was like, they were raised as brother and sister. They were raised as brother and sister.
Using like another parlance, like in the television show The Flash, mm-hmm. Iris West.
Yes.
Is raised as Barry Allen. Like, they're raised together. They are not
correct.
Biologically.
That's what it's like. Good one.
I would have used the Barry Allen defense instead of the Woody Allen defense. Okay.
I got like, my Allens confused. I'm just, sorry.
Woody Allen and Woody. Barry Allen, vastly different people.
Yeah.
Hope one of them should be fictional. The other.
Yes. So there's that. This show, The Umbrella Academy, is clever and moves quickly. And there are so many ways you can arc this way and that. It has a lot to offer. And I found it entertaining because for these kids who are now, let's say 25. As the Umbrella Academy, they were comic book heroes. And the comic books were sold in their world. And they were figures, dolls. They were action figures as the Umbrella Academy. Because much like Michael Jackson, these children never went out without a mask. Michael Jackson's children, I digress. So they're raised.
You're using all kinds of.
I'm all over the place.
The Michael Jackson defense now? Like, is that.
Did you know that Disney.
I bring forth Woody Allen and Michael Jackson. Oh, no. No.
Anyway, so you have these children raised in a very unusual type of situation and where they are raised being famous and then they just stopped doing that. They stopped deciding to save the world. Okay.
Well, I mean, honestly, like cinematically, like it's very nice, but mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say saving the world would be quite taxing. After I did it once, I'd probably be like, I'm retired, guys. Like you'd never catch me in a Bruce Wayne situation where I'd be like, nightly, mm-hmm. I must wring justice like from the bloodied hand of me smacking a criminal. That would not be me. I wouldn't just be like, guys, I've slept 2 hours. Not in the mood for this. Give them back their wallet. Just like it would be kind of the dad you've woken up at 3 o'clock. Guys, go to bed, put it down. I'm not in the mood. I have to be up for work in 3 hours. That's why I can't be Batman. Besides, exactly.
Others.
Well, I mean, I wasn't, you know, trained to be a ninja. I don't own a billion-dollar company. My parents weren't assassinated in Crime Alley, like,
yeah,
in front of me.
A whole lot of things.
Yeah,
happening.
There's a lot of things that make me not Batman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, the Umbrella Academy, watch it. Now, you saw it in the theater. Get it? Theater. Yeah, yeah. I saw it in my home because you can now rent Bohemian Rhapsody. Why? Because the Oscars are tonight. You will already know who will have won when you hear this. But for us, the Oscars are tonight, so we don't yet know. And we watched Bohemian Rhapsody. And other than the fact that the girls liked it, Jim said the same thing you did, which was, I already knew the story. The music was great. And Rami Malek, I did not know that there was a YouTube that had his performance, his Live Aid performance for the movie next to Freddie Mercury's Live Aid performance. Have you seen that?
Side by sides are a fascinating,
fascinating
thing. They've also done one for Infinity War. You've got like the completed one with Thanos and mm-hmm. Iron Man, like fighting it out. And then they have the one with Josh Brolin and RDJ with all sorts of like different, like they're in a motion capture suit essentially. And they look, you've got these two like
men
in their 50s that look like they're wearing like pajamas that for some reason have like light bulbs on. Like,
the only difference is Freddie Mercury really existed.
And Iron Man only exists in California. I don't know what you're saying.
So what I really appreciated was not everyone on that stage for the Live Aid performance in the movie. It was so beautifully choreographed. I mean, it was amazing.
It's probably the best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Like if instead of trying to cover like Mercury's life, mm-hmm. if it just had have been like the lead up to Live Aid, mm-hmm. like that part of the movie is so engrossing. Like,
but do you remember Live Aid?
I don't.
Okay, I do. I don't remember seeing
Live Aid. I mean, the place that I met Queen was through seeing a rerun of Flash Gordon.
Oh. Okay, well, I remember this. And unfortunately, I've seen the scene so many times, I can't give you a clear, it's not so clear like I was here when the Challenger happened. I can't tell you that because I've seen that Mercury performance over and over. So my recollection is tainted. But watching that side by side right there, just hand him the Oscars. Give it to him. Boom. So hopefully he will have won it.
Bare minimum. Like the film, I don't know if it's the best picture. And
I can't say it's the best picture, but.
And for obvious reasons,
the music is clearly the best music.
Right, but like it's also it's not original
Correct.
Music. Whatever. Like I don't think you're allowed. Like seriously, okay, if you did was put together like a Queen's Greatest Hits album, that would win every mm-hmm. Oscar every year. Like, but they have rules against just being like, wait a minute, you put these all, and it's not like Queen got together and recorded a new song.
Am I crazy or the guy that played Brian May? I mean, I kept thinking, wow, Brian May looks good.
When you get your casting right, like sometimes you just get your casting uh-huh, right.
Uh-huh. So hopefully he will have won just because the vocals, as I recall, are Rami Malek's mixed with Freddie Mercury's because not all of it was a record that they could just use
that and Mercury. It's not like Mercury is very imitatable. Like,
no,
like the vocal range that he had, like, I'm just saying, like, if you could get a person that could imitate him vocally, that's impressive enough. If you could get a person that could imitate him vocally and was a solid enough actor to carry a movie, mm-hmm. like, I'm just saying statistically, that's probably impossible.
And seeing those childhood pictures of Freddie Mercury, the actual ones, that child must have been teased mercilessly because of his teeth. And what was it? He has extra teeth, or his mouth was bigger, or what's the thing? I don't recall.
I think it's his mouth was larger, which is what lets him hit those,
yes,
those notes.
Yes. Which, an aside, that's why Barbara Streisand never got her nose fixed. She attributes that to her singing ability, or it adds to it. And she was always afraid to diminish her talent.
Well, was it Jennifer Grey? The one that was in Dirty Dancing.
Yes, it's Jennifer.
After she fixed her nose, she was almost unrecognizable. Like, she was in a very popular movie, and then the next one she does, people are like, oh, who's that? Who's that actress?
Yeah, that's still
so, I mean,
and oddly enough, she's married to Agent Coulson.
There you go.
Did you not know that?
I'd marry Agent Coulson.
Yeah, who wouldn't? No, she really is.
No, I believed you, but I'm also saying that I would marry Agent Coulson.
Okay. Like, all right.
What part of that did I not make clear?
I don't know. Anyway, so Bohemian Rhapsody is streamable. It was a while ago, but purchasing was the only option. It was like, well, I don't know if I want to buy it. I do want to see it.
It amazes me when you do that and you know that I probably have the movie. Like,
but you didn't have this one.
I do.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I have the 4K and the Blu-ray.
Well, I didn't know that. Okay. Well,
I've got a TV. It's not like you'd be like, Adam, I need to watch Bohemian Rhapsody. You'd be like, I can't be bothered to do that. My studies. Like, this is a house of learned doctors, Jane. Do not bother me when I'm researching.
My thesis.
Like, you'd just be like, hey, Bohemian Rhapsody. I'd be like, yes. Bring Taco Bell? Like,
okay.
That's about how the conversation would go, I think.
Yeah. However, when it was pouring down rain last night, that wasn't going to happen.
For the week, duh. 2 weeks, or 40 years, or whatever it was.
So, watch The Umbrella Academy. I thought it was well done. And so now Netflix, not Scape, has Unfortunate Events, which they wrapped up, but they could still spin. I mean, the series of unfortunate events could essentially be over.
Unless
it made so much money that they want to make more.
Well, I mean, J.K. Rowling, like, Harry Potter was finished. The book series was finished, though I'm genuinely surprised Warner Brothers has not pursued her further for The Cursed Child. Like,
yeah,
there is what is, in essence, Harry Potter, not year eight, however you want to look. They have another chapter in Harry Potter's life featuring his children after all of that stuff, written by the author of the original. I'm just like, are they waiting until like the play has stopped selling it? Like,
they're waiting for the 25 year mark, because then you've got a generation removed.
I could see. Well, I'm just pointing, like, are they waiting for Daniel Radcliffe? Are they waiting for all the stars to age into those roles? Because I'm going to put it out here. You did another Harry Potter movie. I don't mean Fantastic Beasts, not set in the world of Harry Potter. I mean another film with Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter. Like, you get all of them back together. Like, for this, what kind of stupid amount of money does, and like, it's not like Warner Brothers doesn't have like both hands, like, in, I mean, they are in for a penny and for a pound, right? There's a wizarding world of Harry, but like, there's a theme park, like countless video games. They have launched the another series. Guarantee the books are still making more in a year, like 10 years after the fact, than I make, like, you know,
ever,
let's say in my lifetime.
Okay, sure.
So I'm just saying, why has somebody not just been like, so this sacred child, or cursed child, when are we turning this puppy into a movie so I can buy an island?
Well, essentially, I think next to the queen, she is the richest person on that island. Well, it's not an island. She's not an island.
It kind of is.
Well, sort of. Yeah, well, I guess. I think our time has come to an end.
Whoa. Oh, dear. You mean in a fatal way?
No. I think we've reached the point to now or just be more rambly than usual.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see
that. So thank you so much for listening. And I feel like watching The Umbrella Academy again.
And hopefully,
right now.
Hopefully Netflix won't Marvel Netflix it and cancel it immediately. After releasing another season.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
Don't do that with all the comic books, Netflix. Like, it hurt enough when you did it to Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
Please don't.
Yeah. And Anna Grace already said, we are getting Disney Plus, aren't we?
It's not even out. The moment they said Tom Hiddleston
yes.
as Loki, I think you knew.
Oh, like, yeah.
You and I both
signed up.
You at least had to be in there for, like nothing else on that. Loki was finished, I was certain of it. Once they were like, oh, yeah, Tom Hiddleston's Loki will be there.
Mm-hmm. I hope there's a lot of narration. A lot.
It's him. It's a camera in front of Tom Hiddleston telling about stuff him and Thor did when they were younger. It's the cheapest show on there. But it's Hiddleston just dooting around.
By the way, I caught this on Amazon. Maybe it was a BBC show, and it certainly looked like it was being set up to be more. But Tom Hiddleston starred in something called The Night Manager. And
is
there
the
need
Stephen King book? Is that
I don't think so. Because,
or am I thinking of it?
Because there's no supernaturally stuff.
Okay,
it was more James Bondy, Jason Bourne-y.
Night Shift. I think that's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
Right. Anyway, so the idea was he was the night manager at a hotel. But I don't recall, because it's been a few years since I've seen it. I don't recall if he was like a super spy kind of guy and he just wanted to not do that anymore. So he thought, well, I'll just work overnight at a hotel and just kind of, you know, or some other thing. Anyway, he solved crime and wore beautiful suits that matched his eyes. And that's really all I remember. And it was beautiful.
That's really all you've got.
Yes, he was very dapper in it. James Bondian.
Have you caught the preview for the new Twilight Zone coming to CBS All Access?
Oh, yeah.
I've needed a reason to not just have it for Star Trek Discovery. And obviously, like, Picard and Section 31 are going to provide that. But, like, I own all of the previous Twilight Zones, like the mm-hmm. UPN one, the, I think it was NBC one in the 80s, like the original, like, black and white, like, I like the Twilight Zone. I enjoyed it a lot. I have all of them. This piques my interest, and it seems like it's got a real horror. I mean, do you get a horror feeling from it? Like, almost.
And I also got a, wow, all these people wanted to work on this project feeling.
Well, that's, I mean, the host slash, like, he's one of the writers or producer, like, did, like, just get an Oscar nomination for Get Out. So I'm saying, like, there's talent. And, like, when Spielberg produced it in the 90s, like, I mean, you had Scorsese directing episodes, Zemeckis. I'm just, like, there's a lot of people that are fans of this show, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are famous and have money or are directors or any number of any of these things.
Mm-hmm. I know you and I would be up to be in an episode.
Haven't seen an episode yet, obviously, but I'm just saying my interest is peaked.
And it does drop April 1st, which is going to bother people.
Soon upon. I thought the same thing when I saw it.
Because it really looks good. But I think this is a real thing. I hope so. Anyway,
that would not be the thing to mess. Well, spend millions of dollars advertising and then just be like, gotcha, it comes out in May.
You're pumped. Oddly enough, you and I have not discussed The Masked Singer.
I've only seen it in passing. I would actually have to be more educated on it.
I've only seen an episode or two. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we can endeavor to,
I guess,
research that further.
We can.
For podcasts.
We will withhold comments.
Of the future.
Okay. So thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hintz and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.